doubt that I had a chance. Took the only route that I can. Now we flying in the south of France. You can pout me while I dance. Cry away while I fly away. Another city to annihilate. All I gotta do is rhyme today. Tell me what time I'm on stage. Tell me what time I'm on stage. There's some shit that I gotta say. Tell me what time I'm on stage. The mayor faded with a faded state in everybody's favor. Soul made a goal, know that we made your way before the fader. More concerned how I came home, heard my horns was tasered by some pig, overseer, cop, overseer. Shit's over, I'm saying it gotta stop. I'm zoned and laser sharp, but I'm here and I know I need you. Don't do it but top 10 on radio. Before I drop dead, I save my soul. No, I got a hot head, but I'm staying cold. I ain't a player, but the mayor don't.
Everyone, and welcome back to DJ Remedy's Healing Hour. I'm DJ Remedy, or Jen Ravasia, and I'll be your host. So I'm going to talk about first, really quick, two birthdays. Shout out to my friend Rani and to my friend Michael. Both of them had their birthday, I guess now yesterday. And I hope that this next year goes really great for them. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. And today I'd like to talk to all of you about a bit of an esoteric sort of topic. It's about old video game music, and I know you might be thinking, Jen, you're painting yourself into a corner, because you've done two episodes about this now. And I promise I won't always be talking about game music. I've just got synths and digital music on the mind, because earlier this weekend I got to play with a friend's synth, which was a ton of fun. But I digress. I'm going to be talking more specifically about how absolutely crazy it was to write music for old game systems and a bit of explanation on why it was so hard. I'm going to make this a bit of an educational episode. Of course, before we get started, I do want to read a PSA, or to have the automation read a PSA real quick, so that we can get that out of the way and we won't have to be interrupted by it later. So let me just bring that in, and I will see you soon.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind. Life is worth more than a text. Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
And we're back. Great. All right, now that that's out of the way, I have the entire rest of this 56 minutes to talk to you about all sorts of things. And then if we get to the end of it, I've got a very special musician to talk to you about. All right, so first off, I want to talk to you about the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. This was a console that was put out by Nintendo, I think around the early 90s. I could look up the exact date, but that was the one piece of research that I didn't do going into this. And the Super Nintendo Entertainment System was notable for having a really, really solid sound card. Its music was leagues ahead of anything that came before it. But that said, it still had a lot of restrictions. So, first off, it could only handle 8 voices. What this means is you'd have 8 instruments that could be playing simultaneously, which means let's say that you want to have a drum beat. If you have a drum beat, then that's 7 left. If you want to play a chord, just like a piano chord, 3 notes at once, then that means that that combined with the drums, you have only 4 instruments left, which gave rise to a lot of really restricted music at the start. But then it opened up as people became more experimental with what they did with regards to composition. And so we eventually were able to create these sort of sweeping pieces, some of which I'm going to play for you really soon. But so that's basically what a voice is. It's an instrument. The sample rate of music from the SNES was 32 kilohertz. What this means is it had the same audio quality as this microphone I'm using to talk to you now. It was a decently high quality microphone. It had the same bit rate as that. So other than the voices thing, what's so hard about composing for this? What really hampered composers was the size of the pieces that they were able to write. The original SNES cartridges had only 117.75 megabits available for use, and the largest games on it, only used 48 megabits of the possible 117.75. What this means is that that's the entire game. And so these pieces had to be very tightly made. They had to be very compressed, or else they had to be designed with this short memory in mind. But even with the limited number of voices and with the limited space on the cartridge, I'm definitely not able to, but some of these composers were able to create really moving and interesting pieces. So I'm going to play, as an example, a couple of songs from Secret of Mana, and then one song from Final Fantasy III. And I'll give the names of the composers and the names of the songs after they play. So without any further ado, let me get into the first song, which is Spirit of the Night off of Secret of Mana, and I'll see you all shortly. So, those three songs, sorry, four songs that I just played were Spirit of the Night off of Secret of Mana, Fear of the Heavens, also Secret of Mana, and A Curious Tale off of Secret of Mana, and finally, Snowy Field from Final Fantasy III. All of the songs from Secret of Mana were composed by Hiroki Kikuta, and the song from Final Fantasy III was composed by Nobuo Uematsu. And so, with that out of the way, let's talk then about, let's go further back. So, before the Super Nintendo Entertainment System was the original NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System, also known as the Famicom. So, how does the NES's sound differ from the SNES's sound? I'm trying to think of where to start here. So, okay, how does it work? You get five channels this time instead of eight. And beyond that, the channels are specifically dedicated to certain sounds. One and two are pulse wave channels. Each one has three voices, three instruments, that could possibly be played. You can pitch those instruments however you want. You can set the volume however you want, but you only get those three. And really, you only get two out of those three. The third is the triangle wave channel, or at least two at once, I should say, for one and two. The third channel is the triangle wave channel. It only has one voice, one way that it sounds, and it can be turned on or off and pitched higher or lower. And, of course, volume can be changed. That said, it's always going to be the same sort of instrument that's being played. It was often used for bass in the old Nintendo repertoire. Four is the noise channel. It sounds like a TV making a static sound. It was used mainly for percussion, but if you got it going fast enough, if basically the way that it would, that you'd pitch something up is you just play the same sample but faster. And the way that the noise channel sounded when it was played faster made it sound like a metallic sort of pinging noise, which was used in some of the original Mega Man soundtrack. And lastly, five is for samples, often used for percussion when percussion needs to be softer. There were built-in samples. You could load external samples, but that arose, that creates issues with size. So, given that, I wish I could tell you about the what sort of sample rate it uses, but this chip does some weird sorts of things with the bit rate, and given more time, I could have researched it, but I was inspired to do this topic a little too late to be able to come up with a concise and easy way of explaining this, so I'm just going to skip over the bitrate. So then, that brings us to size. Given that an SNES cartridge already was super limited at 48 MBits for even the largest game, what's the NES like? The average game size for the NES was 4 megabits, with one of the largest official games for the NES being Kirby's Adventure at 6 megabits. This converts to 0.75 megabytes for Kirby, which is absolutely crazy considering that games nowadays are easily upwards of, I think, I know that most modern AAA games are above 10 gigabytes at the very least. And so to have something this small and you only have, you can't compose a chord on it even because you don't have the ability to simultaneously play three notes in the pulse wave channels. You at most can play two. So composing for this, you had to use a lot of tricks and such if you wanted to get anything more complex, which is why we get a lot of simple melodies, but we still see experimentation and a little bit more complexity come into play, especially with the Mega Man soundtrack, which came out later, and the Kirby soundtrack, both of which I'm going to be playing for you next as a sort of example of the sound of this era. And then afterwards, I'll be talking to you lastly about the Game Boy Advance, and then I'm going to go on to talking about that special musician, because this is a lot faster than I thought it would be. All right, here we go. We'll be right back. So that was first Vegetable Valley from Kirby's Adventure by Junji Ishikawa and Hirokazu Ando. And secondly was Elec Man Stage by Manami Matsumae from the Mega Man OST. Coming up next is the Cupman theme, again from Mega Man, composed again by Manami Matsumae. Right, so once again, that was Manami Matsumae's Cupman from Mega Man. And that ends sort of my foray into NES music for this whole session here. So what's up next? What happened was when we moved away from consoles and into handheld devices, such as the Game Boy Advance, and I know I'm skipping a couple, but the Game Boy Advance was my first gaming device, so I have a special place in my heart for it. What happened when we moved was that we had these really, really great sound chips. We had super high quality, high fidelity sound, but the issue is, because we didn't have a TV speaker, we had these tiny little tinny speakers, the quality didn't end up being all that great. So if you look in the game's files, you get these really nicely composed pieces, but when you play it, it still sounds fine. You just miss a lot. So I'm going to be playing a couple of songs from the OST of Emerald, Pokemon Emerald, and also from the Minish Cap. They're of comparable sound They could be at comparable sound quality to the SNES if the composer had intended it to be. However, the composer had to work under the constraint of, okay, even if I compose this grand sweeping piece, no one's going to be able to hear it correctly over this game, over this handheld's tinny speaker. So instead, what they created was they made a bunch of these easy-to-follow melodies and really upbeat sorts of sounds, and used those in order to drive the main narrative storyline of the game. So yeah, I'm going to be playing first the end theme from Pokemon Emerald, followed by, sorry, I'm going to be playing a song from The Legend of Zelda, The Minish Cap, and then followed up by the end theme from Pokemon Emerald, and lastly, I'm going to be playing, I believe it's Dewford Town? Yes, Dewford Town, again, off of Pokemon Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald. And, yeah, I hope that you enjoy. We'll be right back. All right. And so that was first Hyrule Field from the Minish Cap OST, or Legend of Zelda, the Minish Cap, the original soundtrack from that game, composed by Mitsuhiko Takano. And then following that were two songs from probably my favorite soundtrack of all time, Ending Theme and Dewford Town from the Pokemon Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald original soundtrack, composed by Junichi Masuda, Goichi Nose, and Morikazu Aoki. And yeah, so that concludes my exploration into old video game sounds. Thank you for coming with me into this. I hope you've learned something. And if not, I got to talk about something that I really like for a while, so that's fun. Up next, I forgot that we have to do one donation PSA because it's donation month. So I'm going to play one of those real quick, and then I'm going to tell you about something cool on campus, or really someone cool on campus. And so here we go.
Here at WMFO, we like to ask the important questions, such as, why Freeform? Well, it's been our tradition now for 45 years, and none of us here want to see that change anytime soon. Do you? If not, we need your help to keep WMFO Freeform by contributing to our annual donations drive. Anytime before April 13th, go over to donate.wmfo.org to support us in reaching our $5,000 goal. You will even receive a unique thank you gift. To see more about what our DJs have to say about keeping WMFO Freeform, visit facebook.com/WMFO Medford. That's facebook.com/WMFO Medford.
And we're back, and I promise that that was the last PSA that I can remember that I have to do. Great. So, up next, I'm going to be talking to you all about a good friend of mine, named Nick Blackwell. Nick has been creating a ton of really, really, really great electronic music, on SoundCloud under the name Nick Bewell, or Nick Bwell. I like Nick Bewell because it sounds like a command. And also with his band, Bluewell, who I got to see perform a couple of weeks ago. They were fantastic. I have a lot of respect for Nick as an artist, and I really, really love the work that he does. So I'm going to play you all a couple of his songs, and then I think we'll finish out with some Pat Metheny. Because I've been listening, just getting back into him, listening to a lot of his stuff. So we'll probably finish it out with, first an announcement that, yeah, you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, and also with Last Train Home by Pat Metheny. But yeah, I'll let you know the names of all of Nick's music as I play it. And once again, you can check it out for yourself online at soundcloud.com/Nick Blackwell. Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
So those two songs were I'll Be There and Pages, both by Nick Blackwell. I'd like to thank Nick again for allowing me to use these songs for the show. I think that they're absolutely stellar, and I'm happy to share them with the world. And I was actually lucky enough to get to make album art for the second song, or I guess song art, because these haven't been released on any official album yet. It's, again, available on his SoundCloud. Coming up next, two more of those. Actually, no. We have time for just one more. Then I'll make the announcement we have 10 minutes left. Yeah, no, two more. Two more of those, I guess. And then the announcement that you're listening... The announcement of the radio show you're listening to. It's 5 in the morning. I'm sorry that I've tried this sentence 4 times on air. I'm going to announce the station that you're listening to, and then we're going to play some Pat Metheny, and I will pass it over to whoever's next, or if no one's next, I'll pass it over to Automation. And I hope that you're having a wonderful night, whoever is out there listening at 5 in the morning or whatever ungodly hour it is for all of you. And I'm happy that you're here to share it with me.
Thank you.
So that was actually three songs. It was Take Your Time, Places, and Current, all by Nick Blackwell. It's almost time for me to say goodbye. It's not quite yet, though. I've got a minute before I can make the announcement. I hope that wherever you are, that whoever you are going to make this next week something that makes you happy. I hope that you're able to do everything that you need to do. I know that a lot of people have tests coming up this next week. So if you're up studying, and I know a couple of my sweet mates are at the very least, then you're going to do great. You've got this. Oof. Sorry, I'm just a little tired. And I need some way to fill the time for the next 30 seconds. So I'm just going to keep this sentence going as best as I possibly can. But I'm running out of things to say, and I'm really not sure how I'm going to keep it going for another 16 seconds. I'm sure I'll figure it out, though, because, like, I often do. That said, I'm really, really close, but I just can't seem to... Great, we're here. Awesome. This is DJ Remedy. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, and this has been DJ Remedy's Healing Hour. Thank you for letting me talk about video games for the past, like, hour or so, and then also just about one of my friends. I really appreciate that this is codified as an actual radio show that people can actually tune into. And not just me doing what I would normally do, but more like talking just to friends. Anyways, I'm going to shut up now and play Pat Metheny's a wonderful song, Last Train Home. And then after me, who knows? I'm not sure who's coming in on Thursday at 5, but I'm sure that whoever it is, it'll be great. And if no one else, it'll be Automation. And so you won't be alone at 5 in the morning. You'll have some music to listen to. All right, I'll see you later.